Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 26th of March, and I'm recording at a quite early 6:05 p.m. Now, the reason for that is that Owen is away, and normally he gives audios if I have evening commitments. And I was out late last night, and the same will be true tonight and also tomorrow night. So I thought, well, having done a late audio last night, I should do an earlier one here today and also for the big picture outlook as well. So here goes. You will certainly be well aware that we've had some very sharp reactions in stock markets over the last 24 hours, a little bit more. And I can just bring you up to date where we are here today. Now, although Wall Street is not going to be closed for another couple of hours, we have the Dow up a fraction, S&P's up a fraction. And they had been quite weak pre-market and were lower for much of the day. I think the Dow down about 100 points, but it's now up 22, and the S&P up 3.5 points, and the NASDAQ composite, which took the big hit yesterday, is also a little higher in here. Steadying action would be generally positive, because the question really is this just a sort of a one-off or a 1 or 2 day response in what are nervous market conditions generally, not least due to, well, all the bearish forecasts that people have been issuing. There's nothing new in that. Although they've stepped them up a little bit, of course, then there are also the situations that we have in now the situation in Yemen, which has really brought a broader conflict between Sunnis and Shia. People is well, as I say, that's it's brought that closer to hand here overall. That is obviously one of the big areas of conflict within the whole region. So the, as far as I can understand it, that the Houthi troops are largely, that are now in Yemen and have actually taken over most of Yemen and are now being bombed. They are Shias and probably financed by Iran. Now, why would Iran be wanting to do this? Well, there's been a big geopolitical power struggle going on all along here, but one reason that springs to mind that I think is not just merely fanciful is that they are hurt more than some of the Sunni oil producers by the very low prices. So how do you get prices up? Well, it'll create a little bit of turmoil in the region, and you know, by moving into Yemen, you're controlling a key position there in the Gulf, and if you can create the fear that Saudi exports are going to be vulnerable, the Yemeni exports are minimal, but the Saudi exports are obviously hugely important, and if people are worried about whether they will be able to get out of the region, then that can push oil prices higher. I mean, my feeling is that there's very little that could be done to prevent Saudi oil from leaving the region more than extremely temporarily. But, you know, it's all part of the emotional nervousness that we have in the markets here. And then that airplane tragedy in the Alps. I mean, that obviously didn't help. It we know how gut level fight or flight sentiment is a key factor here in markets. It's inevitable. We're human, and you know, I know you're mostly long, and you're hoping for a reasonably comfortable ride. And so images of or mental thoughts of airlines plunging out of the sky and pilots being locked out of the cockpit are not reassuring, actually, are they? So again, choppy, nervous, but what's the overall big background? And that to me is one of that's really quite attractive, where we have monetary policy that is really quite accommodative. We have low interest rates generally, and inflation pressures are for the most part very much under control. Yes, things are changing, and yes, the Fed will be commencing some rate hikes almost certainly this year. We've discussed all that, and that's all well known and at least partially discounted in here. But I think that, and we also know that valuations on Wall Street have been high. We know that the strong dollar had also caused problems. But the key, most important factor, in my opinion, is that positive monetary environment generally. And therefore, I think that certainly doesn't prevent corrections. And Wall Street is overdue for a 10% correction. I'm not saying that that's imminent, but if that did occur, none of us could fall off our chairs in surprise at actually seeing such an event. But I do feel that the risks of the Big Bang, the risks of a 2008 repeat, which some people have been talking about, let's put it this way. They're way premature in my opinion. Okay, so what's happened in here today? Well, it was a bit of a bloodbath in Asia, as you would expect, with a couple of exceptions here. And but Japan was down 1.39% on the Nikkei 225. Pretty well everything else is down. India got hit hard. The BSE Sensex now quite oversold and close to its rising 200-day moving average. Now down 2.33%. Now that's a bigger correction than we have seen since the since Narendra Modi has been Prime Minister. So that raises some questions. I have been describing this as a sort of a medium-term correction, and it's certainly that. Can it go lower from here? Well, yes, it could. Again, in the beauty contest, India had done so extremely well and came quite way outperformed everything up until just over a month ago. And so there's been some switching. There's been some switching to Japan. There's been some switching to Europe. I've mentioned all this before, but now, and this is quite a significant pullback. It's making India look more interesting here overall, and close to that 200-day moving average. So I think for those who had missed India, and I know some people have or feel that they're too light in India, now it's interesting. You want to buy it when people are getting nervous and when it's seen a good correction, not when it is soaring up into new all-time high ground. Okay, China. China did better. Well, at least the Shanghai Composite shares did. They were up over half a percentage point here today. Now, how could that be, or why might that be? And I think there's a lot of political activity in this market, and I think China would like to be able to demonstrate that its market is not slavishly in step behind Wall Street. The Hang Seng Index was only down a tiny bit, 31 points, and That's a minimal percentage, just over a tenth of a percentage point. And the H shares down a third of a percentage point. So China was pretty steady here overall. And it looks like so was Singapore in here, but the other indices are all lower in that region. Now, looking at Europe, and we've seen certainly weakness, but markets closing off the lows. For instance, the German DAX index, which was down very sharply early on, but only closed with a very small decline, and less than a quarter of a percentage point. We had bigger declines of just over 1% for Italy and also the Netherlands and also Sweden and Switzerland. And also the UK, which was clipped. The Euro Stoxx 50 paired its losses quite well. They all paired their losses quite significantly. And Wall Street is mostly higher here right now. The S&P up close to a quarter of a percentage point, and let's see what else to mention here. The Canadian market just about unchanged, and Brazil, is that actually trading? I don't know. I don't think that's trading yet. Okay. What else is going on here? In terms of government bonds, let's have a look at that just to remind myself. Hold on. Just bring this up. And the US 10-year is rallied quite sharply. Remember, I said late last night in the audio that we had a very small upside key day reversal. Now, that yield had come down a long way. Had come down below 190, having been up over 220 earlier in the month. So just a couple of weeks, it fell back quite sharply. But the key yesterday is getting some good follow through, and here today it's currently at 1.9955. And but this is not anything to be alarmed about here overall. It's very much in a very, very, very much in a ranging pattern. And looking at other indicators, U.S. dollar is somewhat firmer here today. That's not surprising if people are sort of frightened, and I think a lot of people probably are frightened, and anxiety levels, or put it this way, anxiety levels have gone up. Euro slipped back to 108, 1.0879. The Aussie dollar a little lower, 0.7818. The sterling is also a little lower, 1.4840. And I think not a whole lot of change in the Asian currencies that I've noticed in here today. And in terms of that U.S. dollar, I maintain that that was a medium-term peak, most likely. It's obviously a short-term peak that we saw on the 13th, up above 101 on the dollar index. And I also think that we almost certainly had some Fed intervention up there, surreptitiously, of course. Now, in precious metals, palladium a little firmer, 771, that's up $5.50. Silver also up a tiny bit, 4 cents, 1704. But it's had a good recovery in the last few weeks since the dollar has come off the last 2 or 3 weeks. And palladium is at 1,100 $151. And we've, let's see, gold 1203 and change, up over $8. So those are clearly steadier. And what's helping them along? Well, a fracas in Yemen that I mentioned earlier on, and the overall lining up of coalitions of both Shias and opposing Sunnis has certainly increased interest in oil supply. And I mentioned that with the not least in within the being within the Iranian interests. And the Brent is currently up $2.90 as I speak, and that is at $59.38, not above the highs that we have seen this month, but it's a good bounce back in the last couple of days following a setback. More modest recovery, I believe, by the WTI, but that's up $2.19. It is at $51.40 here as I speak. And looking at so again, the CCI index, that's that continuous commodity index, that's edging a bit higher in here again today. Looks like cocoa is firmer, sugar is weaker. The grains and beans, they look to be mostly lower in here today. But I'd already given you the precious metals that they are firmer, and we have industrial metals a little bit firmer, and copper, U.S. copper here is at $2 and let's see, 280.75, 280.75. And that's up $1.60. So, interesting, nervous times. Wall Street slightly in positive territory as I speak. And so nervous conditions persist, but I don't think there's going to be the big downward move that so many people have been forecasting. I think that's just premature talk and alarmist. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.